The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, it's so good to be here today. We're living here together in this global pandemic, but I've been looking forward to this moment. I think at some subconscious level, the reason I was looking forward to this moment is because I expected to see you all, but that's not the case, obviously, and I don't know what I was thinking, and it's a bit awkward to say this, but I hope it's nice for you to see me. I'm thankful that I don't get live feedback apart from the crew that are here that just had a bit of a giggle to themselves. Well, what a time we are living in. It's crazy. Unprecedented is a word that I'm sure you're getting sick of hearing, but it's the right word. We live in unprecedented times. You know, I think there are certain situations that we find ourselves in that apply pressure to us enough for the real measure of what we're made of to emerge. Some of those situations we don't choose, like the one we're in right now. We don't choose the situation. But others, if you're a bit crazy, you do like to put yourself in those pressure cooker situations to find out what you're truly made of. In this time when I've been at home, one thing I've been doing to try and keep fit is jogging on my treadmill. And I thought I was going okay. I thought I was pretty fit. Not the case. People who really jog tell me the treadmill's a fake environment to be jogging, but I don't care. I'm ignoring that word. I rebuke that word. So I've been on the treadmill and my goal has been 5 kilometres or 30 minutes, whichever comes first. 5 Ks or 30 minutes. I've put myself in this pressure cooker situation, hardly, to see what really is going on with the fitness inside my body. It's been interesting. Unlike my wife, who is one of these crazy people I mentioned before, and I mean crazy in the most positive, adoring possible way. She's watching right now. Hello, darling. Yesterday, Brooke ran the equivalent of a half marathon. Honest to goodness. 21 kilometres she ran yesterday. She put herself in that situation intentionally. It wasn't a half marathon run. That wouldn't be happening right now. She was all alone with her headphones running 21 kilometres, not on the treadmill at a park not far from our house. She ran 21 kilometres. She's obviously made of better stuff than me, and I always knew that. She's one of these people that loves to put herself in a pressure cooker situation to see what she's made of. But the reality is right now for all of us, across the globe, in fact, we are all in this environment, this pressure cooker environment, completely outside of our choosing, completely outside of our control. And I wonder for you, what's it showing about what you're really made of? I've been thinking a lot about this, there's my picture for jogging. I've been thinking a lot about this scale of extrovert to introvert, and where you sit on this will be very strongly revealed in this pressure cooker situation we're in right now. If you're an extrovert, you are absolutely hating this. When's it going to be over? But if you're an introvert, you're absolutely loving this and probably don't want it to be over. And wherever you fit on that scale, I feel like I'm just left of center into the introversion category. I'm kind of loving it, but also at the same time starting to get a bit stir crazy. It's great to be here this morning to see people who I'm not related to. But I wonder, in this time of pressure cooker situation, what stuff are you made of? Extroversion or introversion? Maybe you're starting to notice things around the house that need your attention. This is revealing, this pressure cooker situation is revealing that, this is a shot of my place, by the way, in great need of repair. Not really. This is just a Google shot off the internet. But maybe your house does look something like this and you are starting to see that, man, the stuff I was ignoring either conveniently or otherwise needs attention. This is being revealed to me in this pressure cooker situation. Get a little more close to home and talk about family. What's this pressure cooker situation revealing about the true state of your family relationships? Clearly there's issues going on with this family right here. You're spending far more time with people who you've been in your family with for so long, but now you've got no breaks in between. And what's it revealing? What's your marriage like? What's your relationship with your kids like? What's your relationship with your parents like if you're still living at home? And what's your relationship like with your siblings? This will be revealing the true state of those relationships. And of course, and where I want to land is, what is it revealing about your relationship with God and your place in his kingdom? What's being revealed there? Let me say it again, as the precious situation we are in may be exposing many things about you. Maybe God wants to expose in you where your relationship is at with him and what you look like as a citizen in his kingdom, what the true state is. And where I want to land is to look at the second half of Hebrews 12 to unpack what actually will be, that the points I'm making this morning will not be new to most of you, will not be new to many of you. They really are basic foundational things. And yet in this environment that we're in right now, this is a good place to go to understand more about ourselves and understand more about what God has for us in this time. Let me pray as we open God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have gifted it to us, that it is the book that you wanted your people to have and to read and to study and to understand. And even as I read these words, let alone the comments I make, but even as I read these words this morning, Holy Spirit, speak into every home, speak into every heart for the benefit of your people, for the sake of your name and for the sake of this city, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So open to Hebrews 12, starting at verse 18. I'm going to read it to you as well as it being on your screen. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest at the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This first half of the passage I want to look at this morning, I'm going to keep reading in a minute, but this first half is rich with Old Testament imagery. And it's comparing, what the writer of Hebrews is doing is comparing the Old Covenant to the New Covenant and saying, and I hope you got this, the New Covenant is so much better. It's a very good thing for you to do, particularly in this time of isolation and lockdown, it's a very good thing for you to do to read Hebrews alongside the Torah and to see what the writer is talking about here if you don't know already. But we're not going to go there this morning. Because of this incredible new covenant that we are a part of, sealed, initiated and secured by Jesus, there is an appropriate response to this. There's an appropriate way to respond to this deal that we now have with God that is a beautiful thing. And as we work through the next chunk of verses from 25 to 29 and look at these three responses, as I think the writer of Hebrews is articulating, I want to look at each response right now. But as we look at them and see that each of these responses are natural and appropriate, to see if this pressure cooker situation that you're in right now might be exposing some of your motivation for these responses. And may this be a time when the Holy Spirit ministers to you deeply and draws you closer and closer to Jesus. So let's look at verse 25 for the first appropriate and natural response. Verse 25 says, I'll read it off here rather than there, it's a bit easier. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. I want to say that the first most natural and appropriate response to this new covenant, sealed, initiated, all that by Jesus, is obedience. Obedience. That we would stay on the path. Since we have come to Jesus and his kingdom, obedience actually makes so much sense. Why would we continue to walk in the way of the world? Why would we continue to do things our own way and to respond to life circumstances in the way that we think is best and not go to this person who has initiated and sealed this covenant with us? Why would we do that? Obedience is such a natural flow from understanding the new covenant. Knowing Jesus leads us into living the way of Jesus. What I love that the writer does here is there's a comparison, I think, going on between what was and what is. So remember I read earlier from verse 19, "For you have not come to a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. But now under the new covenant, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking." There is this change that has happened, and it's an incredible change, where the voice of God would send terror through our bones. Now we get to hear his voice and respond. What was terrifying is now a delight. Do you get the immensity of this change? But as we think about obedience and what this current situation may be exposing in you, is what is my motivation behind my obedience? I want to suggest that there are three motivations, two a little off and one right on the money. The first motivation for our obedience can be to be seen by others. To be seen, to be doing the right thing by the right people, keeping my real life hidden behind my Sunday smile. There's no one to see that smile now because you're not allowed to see anyone. You're not allowed to be here in this building. You're not allowed to put on your Sunday face. I suppose you could if you're at home. Turn to your people who are watching with you and give them your best Sunday smile. We can be motivated to be obedient to what God says by wanting to be seen by others to be a good Christian. And maybe in this time of isolation where you've got no one to prove yourself to, that's being a bit exposed. The other one that's a little bit more subtle, I think, is our obedience can be motivated by a desire to earn favor from God. That we want to put God in my debt to earn my place in the kingdom, to justify it, to justify, "God, you made a good choice with me." I hear the echoes of the older son in the parable of the two sons. He said when the party was thrown for his younger brother, who completely disregarded everything the father had said, his cry was, "These many years I've served you, I never disobeyed your command. Where is the party that I've earned?" Our obedience can be motivated by a desire to earn favor with God. Now, there's nothing to earn right now because you're in isolation. It's still a place to be obedient, of course. But these limitations mean that the game that we may have been playing is not as easy to play right now. And of course, the obedience that is on the money is obedience motivated by love. And this is an obedience, that the obedience that Jesus asks of us and the obedience that the writer of Hebrews is directing us towards is this obedience that flows from the fact that God loves us and in response we love him. And I hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." And notice the order here of his words. It's so important. He's not saying, "Obey me and I'll love you." He's not even saying, "Prove your love for me through your obedience." No, he's saying the natural response to me is that you would love me, and then the natural flow out of your love for me is obedience. And I love the way the writer of Hebrews presents obedience here. He says he's presenting obedience as listening to the one who is speaking. What is God saying to you right now? Are you even taking the time to listen? You know, to be seen by others, if that's our motivation for obedience, to be seen by others, then we're not really interested in his voice, we're only interested in his rules. If our motivation is to earn favor with God, we're not really feeling any love, we're just feeling a pressure to perform. And right now, even in this moment, and maybe this is the only thing you needed to hear this morning, was are you taking the time to hear from the one who still speaks today? Are you taking time? And there is plenty of time right now, we know it, for so many of us. Are you taking this time that you have to spend time in prayer and studying Scripture to hear his voice? The first and most natural response to Jesus is obedience. Let's keep moving. Hebrews 12:26-27. "At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised yet once more, 'I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' This phrase, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain." The next verse that I'll show in a minute goes on to talk about we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I love that. I love that, especially right now. The image I get, I don't know if this is right in the Greek or anything like that, but the image that first came into mind when I was reading this and preparing was this image of after I give my dog a bath, and she has a good shake in the bathroom. We don't have an outside bath, but we wash her inside, which is often a mistake we continue to make. But anyway, you know this moment if you've got a dog after you wash them. Anything that is on that dog that is not part of the dog, when they shake, ends up off the dog in a very quick time, usually all over the walls if you're not ready with a towel. But this is the picture I get of this shaking that will happen. Anything not pinned to God and pinned to Jesus and pinned to his kingdom is going to get shaken off. It's going to get shaken off. This exposing time is also a time of great shaking. So much of society as we know it has been shaken. Who else is grieving the loss of sport? I am. Empty stadiums all over the place. And even just before this, rugby league and AFL playing their games in front of empty stadiums. It's weird. It's different. It's shaking. Now there's no sport at all. What about finances? What about money? The economy is going bust. It's on its knees and many of us are feeling it. It's been shaken. What about your work? Maybe you can relate to this picture. This has been a reality for you. Unemployment is at crazy levels as a result of this. One of my family members works high up in management position in a large organization. And he was telling me the other day he's had to lay off 80% of his staff. And all of his team have taken a 50% pay cut. Shaken. Shaken. Can you imagine if the internet broke? Well, this wouldn't be happening right now. Not everything's been shaken. Thankful for that. But think about the three things I've mentioned. Are these not three of Australia's biggest idols? Sport, money, work. The next natural and appropriate response to being established in the kingdom of God is that we would have confidence. Confidence. And I love how, again, the writer has this comparison between what was the old and what was the new. The old, it says, and this is incredible, and if you read the Torah, you'll see this. For they could not endure the order that was given. The people of God could not handle what God was asking of them. They couldn't endure it. And so their confidence in that relationship was shaky at best. But now we have a relationship that is unshakable. Look at the difference here. We have a confidence in God and in the confidence of the things of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. But as with obedience, beneath our confidence can be an ulterior motivation. And for you right now in this pressure cooker situation with these things being shaken, I wonder if your confidence has been shown to be in the stuff God gives. In the stuff God gives. Our confidence at times can be so shaky at times with us without even being aware of it. But when life is good, when the bills are paid, when our kids are happy, when work is fulfilling, our confidence in God is sky high. But you start to mess with any of these things and our confidence comes crashing down. Things are being messed with right now. How's your confidence? Because the confidence that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is confidence in God himself. God himself. That if we have nothing else and only him, that is enough for me. No matter what gets shaken, no matter what gets taken away from me, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And that is enough. I hear the words of Jesus, and this helps me to understand the relationship between confidence and obedience. When Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It would not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It could not be shaken because its foundation was Jesus. And the question before us now in this time of shaking and exposing is how much is your life built on Jesus? How much of your life is shaped by his teaching? It will be exposed right now. And how are you looking? It's a big overlap here with obedience because confidence in Jesus leads us to obedience. And then the third and final thing, Hebrews 12:28. This is beautiful. We've done it this morning. Led so well. Therefore, because of everything we've just read, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. It's so obvious what the third natural and appropriate response is to these things is that we would worship God. That we would worship God. Well, let's look at the comparison again. This isn't really a comparison, but what the writer of Hebrews writes about what we have now that we didn't have under the old covenant, but what we have under the new covenant, the things that we have. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn, to God, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So we should be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's probably a bit cliche to say it these days, but we know, because we've been told many times, that worship is a lifestyle and not just an event. Worship is not something that we come to. Worship is something that we live. But I think the reason why we need to be told it so many times is because we still connect worship so much with the event and with the gathering. The problem right now is that we can't gather. I mean, this is that word again, unprecedented. We can't gather. We can't sing together. And for some of you, you're not missing a thing. For some of you who don't like singing, who don't like engaging in that beautiful thing, well, I'm showing my preferences here. But for some of you who don't like that, this is a time of bliss because you're not obliged to be here on Sunday morning to endure the singing. For others of you, you are going crazy missing this because that worship gathering is so fundamental for you. This is the image that most of us have of worship in the context of what I've just talked about. But I want to suggest that right now, whichever side you fall of that, some of you are in the middle, I know, but whichever side you fall of that, whether you are loving not having to do it right now or hating it because it's so fundamental to you, what might be being exposed in you is an off-center motivation for worship. Because your worship could be of the experience. You worship the experience of worship. This is what you live for. You know, I became aware of one of my favorite bands. I'm not going to name them, but one of my favorite bands. I went to a concert of theirs with 40,000 other people at Suncorp Stadium. And I became aware within me that I was experiencing very similar emotions to what I experienced during a really good worship set. What was happening on the platform was far from God-honoring, and yet I was having similar emotions. And I became aware that this doesn't feel right. And I started to see maybe my worship is of the experience more than it is of the one that we are experiencing. Is it the event itself that you worship? Now, for others who aren't missing it one bit, maybe your lack of worship is being exposed right now. Maybe your lack of heart that has become, a coldness in your heart is being exposed. A coldness to the greatness of God. The incredibility of what He has done for you in Christ is being exposed. This shutdown of church worship gatherings could be exposing you either way. When the worship that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is that we would worship God Himself. True worship. And worship that is the natural and appropriate response to God cannot be silenced. It cannot be silenced. And it does not need anything else to express itself, even though those things are great. It doesn't actually need them. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus on Palm Sunday that we heard about recently, because it was Palm Sunday. When people were crying out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That's a cry of worship. That's a cry of praise. And the Pharisees who didn't like Jesus rebuked Jesus and told him to tell them to shut up because they were blaspheming. And Jesus says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Let this not be a time when the stones of Toowoomba start praising God because we've gone silent. Because the worship that is a natural and appropriate response to the kingdom of God and to God Himself is this heart of worship. There's one more verse in this section that I want to just mention, as if it needs just a mention. It's a huge truth, for our God is a consuming fire. We've talked about in this pressure cooker situation, things being exposed. We've talked about things being shaken. Now this talks about things, God being a consuming fire. This passage is rounded off with another metaphor of how God is going to bring all things to a climax. A complete expose, a thorough shaking, a fire that will consume all things not pinned to Him. What we're experiencing right now is only a very partial experience of the real deal that is coming later. And this deal that's coming will outdo coronavirus in every way. This time is coming. I wonder, with that knowledge, do you have confidence that leads to obedience flowing from a heart consumed with gratitude, worship, reverence, and awe towards God? Jesus never, and I mean never, exposes us for our condemnation. Hear me. Jesus never exposes us for our condemnation. It is always a gracious trap to draw us closer and deeper into love with Him. And if that is happening to you right now, if you feel exposed by this passage in the context of the situation we're in right now, if you are feeling exposed and shaken about your confidence, about your obedience, about your worship, God is working to bring you into a deeper reality with Him, not to leave you to your own devices and condemn you. These questions we bring to you each week are questions that are two of the most important questions that you can ever ask of yourself and that we can ever ask of each other on a regular basis, a daily basis. Those two questions, of course, are, what did God say to me today, and what will I do with what I have heard? What did God say to me today about my obedience, about my confidence, about my worship, and how am I going to respond right now? I'm going to give you a moment to ponder that and to pray into that before Andrew comes to wrap up the service this morning.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.